play in the journey of our life. I came to myself in a dark wood, for the straight way was lost. Ah, how hard it is to tell the nature of that wood, savage, dense, and harsh. The very thought of it renews my fear. It was so bitter, death is hardly more so. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. During Lent, and now during the Easter season, I'm again reading Dante's Divine Comedy. Reading two canti a day can take you from the dark wood, savage, dark, and harsh, on Ash Wednesday, to paradise by Easter. And as I've been reading the comedy devotionally, our sophomores here at Wyoming Catholic College, under the guidance of Dr. Tiffany Schubert, have been reading the comedy in their humanities class. And while that reading is invariably going to be academic, I don't think anyone can avoid Dante's emphasis throughout the poem on our spiritual lives. This will be the first of two podcasts on the comedy featuring Dr. Schubert. This first one focuses on the Inferno. When did you first read Dante's comedy, and what did you think of it?
I first read it as an undergraduate at Hillsdale, and I was dazzled by it. I fell in love with it, and it initiated me into this rich metaphoric world where things were themselves, but they were more than themselves, where images meant something beyond just the surface level, but the surface level also mattered. And it was a whole new way of thinking about the world and a whole new way of thinking about poetry for me. And so I am profoundly grateful to that first encounter with Dante. It was a really kind of initiation into the manifold nature of beauty.
Well, what's it like teaching the poem to new readers and introducing them to Dante?
Dante can be a lot. He's overwhelming. Dante has this encyclopedic quality to him. He is trying to represent the entirety of the cosmos and to give us, in a sense, all knowledge in a single poem. And that can be overwhelming. So acknowledging that and then trying to guide students through the overwhelming aspects of it to focus on the incredible relationship Dante has with Virgil and that he has with Beatrice, and coming to a place where they can genuinely love the poem, even if they don't understand everything that's going on, I think is one of the real challenges and the real joys of teaching Dante.
And what's the student response to it?
They generally fall really hard for Virgil. So you know, Inferno and Purgatorio are canticles that students enjoy. And then Paradiso and the Advent of Beatrice is almost always really, really difficult. Beatrice is not at all as we expect her to be. She's incredibly harsh and she's incredibly severe, and students are very confused by her. And then Paradiso is so, we're in paradise and Dante's trying to do something impossible, which is to represent the state of the blessed in poetry, trying to imagine that. So it's a challenging poem. I think Purgatorio tends to be the student's favorite. It's the one that's closest to our life here on Earth. And there's this real focus on the training in virtue, training in freedom, training in love. So I think they're both drawn to and kind of repelled by Dante's medievalness.
Now, of course, the poem begins midway in the journey of our life. What's the predicament he stands in the dark wood, savage, dense, and harsh?
We don't know, and that's one of the powers of that opening, is we're thrown into the midst of Dante's confusion and his lostness, and we as readers are also lost and uncertain. Dante doesn't begin the poem with an invocation, which would be kind of the normal thing to do with an epic poem. Certainly how Homer begins his poems. Virgil begins his poems too. And very often the invocation kind of orients us and gives us a sense of what the story is going to be about. Dante just throws us into those dark woods, and we don't know how he got there and what he's doing. We get hints of the dark wood as we move further into the poem, and there's a moment in Inferno where Dante's in the realm of the suicides, and they are in a wood as well. And actually the suicides have been turned, they've been turned to trees and bushes. So this is part of their contrapasso. So there's maybe some association perhaps with a kind of despair for Dante. When we get into Purgatorio, Beatrice talks to Dante, well, very sternly, really, she's chastising him.
Also in a wood.
Also in a wood, that's right, yeah, in the Garden of Eden there. And in that wood, Dante is charged with, well, infidelity to Beatrice. She's not especially specific, but she tells him that he's wandered off the right path, chasing after false images of the good. And so it's this spiritual state of Dante's turning away from Beatrice, who is this figure leading him to the true good, and he's chasing after other things. And that may be other women, maybe worldly knowledge and worldly wisdom. Dante's also in exile when he writes the poem as well. He's exiled from Florence. And so there may be that just a sense of loss and disorientation as he's lost his city too.
Well, he says at the beginning, midway through the journey of this life, I came to myself in a dark wood. I came to myself. For the straight way was lost.
That's right. Yeah, he's on a journey headed towards the right path. And then, actually, he tells us that he doesn't even know how he wandered off the straight path. He says, I was so full of sleep, right, when I wandered off that I didn't even know. And so the Commedia is actually a moment of awakening for Dante. He finds himself, he comes to himself, he wakes up, realizes that he is lost, sees the sun, and then sees a hill, and goes towards the hill and tries to climb it. And then he's repelled by three beasts, and Virgil comes to him. So he makes an effort to get himself back to the right path, but he can't do it on his own. He needs divine guidance to bring him back to that right path. You know, the right path was the path towards God, and Beatrice was leading him on that path towards God, but he's wandered off of that, pursuing other forms of the good. There's something kind of Augustinian about this, right? That Dante has this restless heart that's seeking satisfaction and consolation in worldly goods and not finding it, but can't get out of that lostness on his own.
Well, and of course it's Virgil who finds him and takes him into hell. You know, the way down being the way up, or the way up being the way down. And but Virgil was sent by Beatrice, right?
That's right. Although it actually all begins with Mary, who goes to St. Lucy, who goes to Beatrice in a sort of grand game of telephone. Beatrice goes to Virgil. So Dante has a whole host of heavenly ladies who are looking out for him and who have his back, but he needs their guidance and he needs their help to draw him back to the path, right, to the right path.
Now, what people mostly remember about Dante is all the wild and crazy things going on in the Inferno. Tell us about the imagery that Dante employs.
So Dante is thinking about the nature of sin, of course, in Inferno, and showing us the punishments that the sinners receive. But it's much more interesting than that. Really, Dante, through the intense graphic, at times very, very violent punishments that are happening in Inferno, He's revealing something to us about the nature of the sin. So one of the most famous cantos in Inferno is, of course, Canto 5, where Paolo and Francesca, and they're being blown about by a hurricane. And this is a manifestation of the nature of lust, which is their sin. And we see this kind of pattern happening all throughout. Something that's like really striking and surprising to first-time readers of the Commedia is that at the very, very lowest levels of hell, we don't have fire, we have ice. We have souls in varying degrees of depth in the ice. And these souls are traitors. They've betrayed their country. They've betrayed their family. They've betrayed their kinsmen. They've betrayed their guests sometimes, their hosts. And they've betrayed their lords. And they're in ice. And there's something about that that reveals the utter lack of love involved in betrayal, right? For Dante, fire is just associated with motion and with desire. It's too associated with motion and desire for it to actually be the punishment of those low down. And it has to be this cold and hard ice that they're in. So his punishments reveal something about the nature of the sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned the word contrapasso already.
That's right, yes. So contrapasso is a word that's used in Inferno to explain or right, to refer to those punishments, sort of counter-punishment or counter-penalty. And the idea is that it's in some way suited to or fitted mm-hmm. to the crime itself or right to the sin itself.
Well, it's one of the schismatics holding his head, a severed head in his hand, who says, "You see my contrapasso, you see my just punishment."
That's right, yeah, Bertrand de Born, right, holding his head like a lantern there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, and as you said, how strange to our imagination that the deepest pit of hell is icy cold with traitors and those who are cosmically ungrateful, it seems to me, at the very bottom, you know, Satan and Judas and Cassius and Brutus. Just betraying their lords, but also just cosmically ungrateful for the good that they've received.
Yeah, it's such an interesting pairing of the classical and the scriptural in that moment. You have Brutus and Cassius, of course, the assassins, the betrayers of Caesar, and then Judas, the betrayer of Christ. And for Dante, Rome represents the temporal order. It was the height of the temporal order. It also is a preparation for Christianity, but it's this temporal order has kind of cosmic dimension to it. And then, of course, Judas betraying Christ, who is the cosmic order. He's the logos of the whole. And so, yeah, these people who have betrayed Rome, right, and betrayed Christ have betrayed the cosmos in a way. They have been, in a sense, ungrateful for the order of things, unable to accept the order of things. And they're being chewed on by Satan. They're in the mouth of Satan, who is, I think we're supposed to think of him as the ultimate betrayer. The ultimate rejecter of this divine cosmic order, which is governed by justice and governed by love. And they've made themselves cold to that goodness.
Well, and then we have Virgil then leading Dante down Satan's flanks to the center of the earth and turning around and I was very glad that we could emerge from the pit of hell and see the stars again.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, every time I read Inferno, I come to the end and I feel dirty and then so relieved that I'm out of it. There's something about gazing on evil and violence and perversion that can start to affect your soul. And so there's a reason that Dante needs to get out of hell. And then he can't gaze too long upon evil, otherwise it's going to start to infect him. And there are moments in hell where it seems as if Dante might be kind of infected by the evil that he's looking at. That he himself starts to behave a little bit like the sinners. And so he needs to get out of hell. And he gets out of hell, of course, through Satan, and it's a great, I think, really comic moment, because Satan, the great betrayer, sort of right, enemy of God, is silent, blubbering, blood is drooling down his face, and he's got three faces, he's chomping on these sinners. He really is pretty sad and pathetic.
Well, he's kind of chewing his cud. I mean, he's bovine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's nothing really elevated about him. And then he becomes just a ladder for Dante and Virgil to get out of hell. Right? So it's a great, great irony there that Satan, who's trying to defy the cosmic order, simply becomes a step for Dante and Virgil to reorient themselves towards that cosmic order represented in the stars.
Inferno, writes our friend and former colleague Dr. Jason Baxter in his book, A Beginner's Guide to Dante's Comedy, quote, is the poem of interiority. It aims to crack the crusty shell of the heart and gain access to its secret, guarded places. It aims to use horror, wonder, and terror as ways to create afresh the possibility for transformation. Or to change the image, Dante's poetic violence is meant to melt down the hard heart so that it can be reforged into something new. Close quote. How does that happen? Join us next week as we talk about purgatory and then paradise. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.